Well, all right, this is lesson two in the 12 apostles. And today we're going to take our scripture from John chapter 1, verse number 43. So the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto me, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Our second study is involving the Apostle Bartholomew, or also he is called Nathanael in the Bible. And so in John's account, he's referred to as Nathanael, but always in each of the lists, we see him as Bartholomew. But it says in John 1:45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Bartholomew is the same as Nathanael, as we said in John's account, coming to Christ. And how precious is this picture of a friend telling another friend, I have found him, Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael is listed as Bartholomew in all four lists of the 12. The Synoptic Gospels and the Book of Acts contain no details about Nathanael's background, character, or personality. In fact, each only mention him once when they list all 12 disciples. But John's gospel features him in just two passages here in John chapter 1 and the verses that we read in your listening, where he is called and then it's recorded in John 21:2, where he is named as one of those returning to fishing with Peter after Jesus' resurrection and before his ascension. Because here we'll find in John 21:2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they said unto him, We go also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now here in John 21:2, we learn that Bartholomew was from Cana of Galilee, where Jesus performed his first miracle, turning the water into wine at the great wedding feast. Cana was close to Nazareth, and that's Jesus' home in his early years, because he would be identified as Jesus of Nazareth. And so that's the title he carried with him for the rest of his days. Now, we look first of all about the man with a double name, Nathanael. Bartholomew is a Hebrew surname, meaning son of Ptolemy. Nathanael means God has given. So is Nathanael son of Ptolemy or Nathanael bar Ptolemy? What is significant of Ptolemy or Talmai in 2 Samuel 13:37 or Ptolemy. Among the Jews, there was a sect known as the Ptolemaeans, and Ptolemy was a pupil of Heber, an ancient Hebrew master. It is possible that Nathanael, or Bartholomew as we call him here, who was well-versed in Scripture, may have adhered to this school of thought in which much attention was given to the ancient scriptures. The son of Ptolemy was a name not uncommon among Jews in Christ's time. When Philip finds him, he states that he hath found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, of Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And it was not uncommon for men to have more than one name. Simon was surnamed Peter, Matthew called Levi. Lebbeus, Thaddeus, and Judas are names of one and the same person. So when we talk about Bartholomew, it's safe to say we can also call him Nathaniel. So he's Nathaniel Bartholomew. Nathaniel Bartholomew. Now we learn from Peter's search of Bartholomew or Nathaniel that they were most likely students of the Old Testament prophecy. And it would seem that all the 12 outside of Judas Iscariot were keenly interested in the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy concerning Christ. And I believe that would make them more open to the acceptance of the Messiah. You'll remember Andrew has pretty much the same when he goes before Peter and said, I think we have found him, the Messiah. It's not uncommon when we study Scripture that we realize that Jesus didn't just appear on the scene. And of course we know that John the Baptist was there by the River Jordan baptizing, preparing the way of the Lord. And so those who were waiting upon that promise, and in the case here, no doubt Bartholomew has been a student of the Word of God, and he's interested in the fulfillment of that Old Testament prophecy. I've often heard the question asked, how did they know? Well, the same way that you and I know. It has to be revealed to us by God Himself. Of course, in our case, He reveals it through His Word and through the Holy Spirit of God. And so that's how we get the assurance of knowing that these things are so. But then we learn something about Bartholomew, and that is he's a man who learns of Christ as omniscience. By the word of omniscience, we mean all-knowing, and we know that that's one of the qualities and attributes of our Savior, that He knows all things. John will state it in John chapter 2, verse 24 through 25, said, but Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. And of course, Bartholomew is going to find that out here, that while he was under the fig tree, that says the Lord saw him. And Bartholomew was amazed at the fact that Jesus knew him before he met him for the first time. For in John 1, 47 through 48, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. So Bartholomew will learn that Christ has omniscience, that He knows all things. One of the things that I'm certainly amazed at as a Christian, that even the Lord knew us before, and He knew what we would do after that He saved us, and yet in spite of ourselves, He loves us anyhow and saves us by His grace and keeps us certainly in His power. Here's an interesting thought. Bartholomew was a man who was introduced to Christ by a friend. The case is a little different. Andrew's related to Peter. They're brothers. We kind of understand that. Family looking after family. But what we seem to get from indicated in the Scripture, that Philip and of course, Nathaniel or Bartholomew just happened to be good friends. May have worked some together, known each other, but they're always listed together when they're put together in the Scriptures. But when Philip answers the call to follow Christ along with Andrew and Peter, it would seem his first thoughts are to go and tell Nathaniel of his great find. The case here seems to be of one friend telling another friend about Jesus. And while they were united in friendship before of their interest in the Old Testament prophecy, now their friendship would be even deeper from the fellowship of Christian brotherly love. You know, that's just the blessing of salvation. I'm glad it's a household salvation. It's good for mom, dad, good for son, daughter. But it's also good that we can tell our friends and our neighbors about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this case, Philip's telling his friend, Bartholomew, about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the thing was with Bartholomew being from Cana of Galilee, and of course, very close to the city of Nazareth, seems like he's got a little prejudice in his heart, because from Scripture we learn something of the character of Bartholomew and his thoughts about that what would come out of Nazareth. For in John 1:46, Nathanael said unto him, talking to Peter, said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, come and see. Now Nazareth was a rough town. The culture was largely unrefined. They were seemingly uneducated. And the author says it's still much the same today. But Nathanael's quest is, can there anything good come out of Nazareth? Here's a good interesting thought. Nathanael's prejudice against Nazareth, so unexpected and one so meek and admirable, you know, it said that he was an Israelite indeed, sprung not from pride, as the case of the people of Judea, who despised the Galileans in general, but from humility. For he was a Galilean himself, and as much an object of Jewish contempt as were the Nazarenes. His inward thought was, surely the Messiah could never come from among the poor, despised people such as were from Nazareth or any other Galilean town or village. You know, that's the thing about our God. He's always taking the little things and the weak things and the base things to confound the wise. And so really it's not a matter of pride and his prejudice, but it's just seemingly a sense of humility that he can't believe that one, the Messiah, the great one that they were expecting to come, would come from such a lowly town and village as Nazareth. So he said, and of course the reputation of that town was that there couldn't be anything good come out of that city. There are a lot of places in our world today that are like that. They're drug infested, and certainly when people tell that they're from these areas, our thoughts go to, you know, how could anything good come from such a place as that? Now Jesus came from infamous Nazareth and was called a Nazarene, but was yet without sin. And Philip knew the only answer to Bartholomew's prejudice was for him just to come and see for himself. Who is there among us when we come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ could ever doubt his genuineness of who he is? Prejudice was one of the major sins that kept many away from Christ in the day of his ministry. You know, the religious crowd of the day, they said, why, he makes himself equal with God, and they couldn't accept. They just had such a prejudice against him because he didn't go to their schools and learn of their tradition and did things contrary to their traditions. And so they were blinded and certainly died, many of them, in their sin for rejecting him just because of their selfish prejudice. But I'm reminded of the woman at the well who could not believe that Jesus, being a Jew, would have any dealings with a Samaritan. But she too, when confronted with him, will see that he is the Messiah. And her reply is, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And so Philip's answer to Bartholomew's prejudice was, just come see for yourself. And then that certainly ought to be the message of the church. I mean, we just need people just to come see. I think of a song that Rusty Goodman wrote, says, you'll never know until it happens to you. And you can't know the love of God until you've experienced it. And the best thing is just simply come and see. for ourselves. And many, you know, in the case of the woman at the well, it said many of them did go. And when they came back with this testimony, said, we believe also now, for we have heard him ourselves, and believe as you believe. And so that's the surely a part of the ministry of the church, not to get them to come see us or see what we have to offer, but they certainly need to come and see him. And that's Philip's reply to Bartholomew's prejudice. Just come and see. Fifthly, he's a man of deep religious sentiments. It said in John 1:47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now our Lord will commend him for his virtues in a threefold way. And so we see that first of all, that when he says of Nathanael that he was a true Israelite. In Romans 2:28-29, Paul makes this statement, said, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So obviously the Lord realizes when he looks at Bartholomew, or we call him Nathanael here, when he looks at him, he sees in him a true one that has a true inward desire to follow, certainly, and to understand the principles of God's word laid down in the Old Testament. You remember when Philip comes, he said, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets do testify of him, the Messiah, which is to come. You know, it's one thing to have a religious experience, but really the reality is, and certainly must have been the case here with Bartholomew, that he had a hunger inside of him to understand, to know the Word of God. And so the Bible talks about his transparency. It said, in whom there is no guile. Now here's an interesting thought. It said, in whom there is no guile was not a compliment of flattery, but the congratulation of truth. It was because he was guileless and possessed clear intelligence and fine spiritual sympathies that he instantly recognized in Jesus, the Messiah for whom he had longed. Now the Pharisees and Sadducees, scribes and all the lawyers, Jesus called them hypocrites. And it must have been refreshing to the Lord to see one who was genuine, an Israelite indeed, one who is truly genuine, an authentic Israelite. And that's what it means when it said, when he looked at Nathanael and said, in whom is no guile. That didn't mean that he was sinless, for that would contradict Scripture, because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What the Lord saw in him was a sincerity of spirit and of heart, for he was certainly searching and looking and longing for the Messiah. And I think that's the way it is in salvation. We don't get saved just as some matter of a fact, but it is that in our hearts we desire to learn and to know that Jesus Christ is Savior. Then thirdly, we see his trice. When the Lord said, I saw thee under the fig tree. And that's an interesting thought in our study today. The fig tree is an emblem of the Jewish nation, Matthew 24:32, and was the favorite fig tree under which Jews would retire for prayer and meditation. We'll see that in 1 Kings 4:25, Micah 4:1-6. It's also found in Zechariah 3:10. Thus, it was under his own fig tree that Nathanael often went to commune with God, and not on the corners of the streets to be seen of men as the Pharisees did. And here's what we can learn from Scripture that Bartholomew probably may have studied or would have had access to. I think about Micah here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this. We're talking about the idea of the fig tree. It says that the Lord saw him while he was under his fig tree. It said, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall sit every man, here it is, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts have spoken in. You have to believe that if we believe that Bartholomew was a student of Scripture, and if he'd had access to these prophecy of Micah, and of course, Aunt Philip makes that statement. He said, this is he which the prophets have declared. Could you imagine reading that, living in a land and certainly a time of peril, and then to here he is under the fig, his own fig tree. And certainly we'll say more about that in just a moment. But in 1 Kings 4:25, it said, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. So there's a significance of why that Nathanael was here under the fig tree. It might have been his certainly his place of safety. More likely, I would think of it more as a place of prayer, to pray in a troubled time. Philip seems to know exactly where to go find him when he wants to tell him that he hath found the Messiah, that Jesus has truly, truly come. And then we learn something about Bartholomew's testimony. Notice what he says of the Lord. He said, Rabbi, or master, teacher, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now just and devout hearts in Israel, eagerly anticipating the coming of the Lord's Christ, instantly recognized him as such. We'll see that in the early years of our Lord's birth. It said, when godly Simeon saw the holy child Jesus, he is ready to die in peace, for his eyes had seen the Holy One, who had come as a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. In Luke chapter 2, 25 through 35, we see even there that Anna, the aged widow, who departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day, gazed upon him who was born to Mary, and she gave immediate thanks unto the Lord, and went out of the temple and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And then that's found in Luke 2, 36 through 38. Now the holiness of life and heart longings to see the Messiah created a spiritual intuition whereby they knew him as the one sent one from God as soon as they saw him. So was the case of Bartholomew. There could be no doubt who he was, for these are the two high honors given unto the Lord to be called the Son of God and the King of Israel. So when you think about that, why? How was it so easily for these? Andrew, when he sees, you know, when John points him out that day and said, behold the Lamb of God. And of course, Andrew will leave, and we believe the other disciple there was John. And they'll leave John the Baptist and take off after Christ. And as they're going, then it says the next day that here comes Philip. And when Philip hears and sees the Lord, then his immediate reaction is, this is the Messiah. And then he'll go and find Bartholomew, or Nathanael, we call it, as he's called here in John chapter 1, and tells him, he said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets have testified. And it makes it easy when you're, as you see these that were waiting, and certainly waiting upon the consolation of Israel. That's why many of them went out to hear John. John was a rough preacher, wore camel's hair, and wasn't eloquent like the religious crowd of that day, and ate locusts and wild honey. But he came with the message of God that had been so long waited for. For he was, his mission was, he said, I'm not him, but I am the one that's prepared the way for him, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. So, you know, they get an anticipation that he is coming, and especially when you get that old rough Baptist preacher out there telling that he's a coming, and I'm certainly, I certainly believe I'll know him when I see him, for the Holy Ghost revealed unto John the Baptist that he was the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. And then last of all, we see the man who was graciously rewarded. Nathanael, who possibly recognized or realized more of the glory of Christ than any of his fellow disciples, was to behold with open face his greater glory. In John 1, 50 through 51, we read this. It said, Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, obviously, maybe that Bartholomew would have known about this great story of Jacob when he met God at Peniel and saw that, that ladder that reached from earth to heaven. And he saw the angels ascending and descending. And that would have been an understanding in Bartholomew's mind. But Jesus said, listen, you're going to see greater things than these. Hereafter you'll see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know what? As you think about these men, it had to have been a miraculous time of their life, those 3 years of about 3.5 years of walking in the path of him that had the power to do all things, raise the dead, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, unstop deaf ears, help lame people walk, and certainly having the ministry in his life of greater things yet to come. Now, the blessed reward of his guileless heart was to be an ever-enriching experience, and his newfound Messiah would walk with him all the way. What he would find in the Lord, he would find the Lord, a friend, a companion, a provider, and a protector, all wrapped up into one. Now, Bartholomew acknowledges Jesus as the Son of God, and that would be true of him. But now Jesus will identify himself as the Son of Man. This term is employed some 70 times and is introduced here for the first time to his disciples. If you'll notice, when Bartholomew makes the acknowledgement that he's the King of Israel and that he's the Son of God, but when Jesus responds to that, he'll answer him. And in this fashion, he said, you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I'm glad the Lord Jesus was willing to come and to identify with us as man. Now in John 1, Bartholomew would learn of the omniscience of Jesus. But later we'll see him in John 21, 15 through 17, how he would learn of the omnipotence of the Lord to do anything that needed to be done. Now what they had done, they had made their decision. Peter said, I go a-fishing after the death of Christ and the resurrection, they said, I'm going back to the old life. And of course, Nathanael is in that number. He goes with them. And while they tried on their own that night to fish, they had taken nothing. And all that was needed was obedience to the Lord to cast the net on the right side of the ship and to bring in the great draught of fish. Now I noticed when they had nothing, the Lord Jesus had what they needed. For on the shore there was coals of fire, the Bible said, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And here's a blessed invitation, the Lord said, to come and dine. And you know what? I'm glad that invitation still holds true today. He invites us to come and dine with him. John 21:12 said, Jesus said to them, come and dine. And none of the disciples asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Aren't you glad there's an invitation? Although we weren't there as Bartholomew was, but I'm glad in spirit and through the word of God, there's an invitation that says to come and dine. Now, in conclusion, we have only two glimpses of this apostle, and then he disappears, leaving us nothing but conjecture of what he, the Master, accomplished through him in the apostolic age. I would say that as in our own lives, once we come to know him and recognize who he is, all ends well with us. We have to marvel that he knows us, and yet he loves us in spite of one, in spite of ourselves, and one who has a place for us in his dear kingdom. Thank God for the study today in the life of Bartholomew. It may seem insignificant, but what a blessing that we be chosen to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ.